This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, my friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. We're delighted that you've chosen to view the program today and see what the Word of God has to say about the conditions around us in this world in which we live. Today, I want to center my attention on a very specific subject, dealing with the family. The family, you know that nuclear, it could be nuclear if things are blowing up in the family, but nuclear, which one you choose, it doesn't really matter, because some families are blowing up. But if the family is centered together with a father, mother, children, it is the foundation of a society. It's the building block of a society in which we live. And as we look around today in this world, don't we see that things are out of joint, out of focus, out of kilter when it comes to how families should operate? And who gets to decide how our family operates? Is it society, sociologists perhaps, or psychologists, perhaps talk show hosts? Who gets to determine? Is the Word of God, the Bible, as it's purported to be, the source, the resource to which we resort to find out how a family should operate? Well, let's just take a look today in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Deuteronomy, yes, that is the Hebrew Bible. That's the Old Testament. I have some New Testament scriptures as well. But for those who, you know, eschew the Old Testament as something as passé, let's see the principle that is presented here in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 4. The famous Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's an interesting quotation because it's the very quotation that Jesus Christ referred to when asked by a lawyer in the time in which Jesus lived, which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. This passage goes on to say this, And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. In other words, our entire being should be enveloped in, promoting, energized, and familiarized with the fact that family is such an important component of a society. Here's what is said in verse 7. And you shall teach them these laws, these commandments, to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I think that pretty much covers the whole territory, doesn't it? But what are the things we talk about with our children? What are the things we talk about with husbands and wives? What kind of conversations do we carry? Is the Lord, or the love of the Lord, the centerpiece of our conversation? Here's an instruction in the Word of God for those who say they live by the Word of God that declares we should make this a binding resolution upon ourselves to conduct our business in the family as centered on the Word of God. Verse 8 goes on to say this, And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. This was a little box that hung down in between the eyes on the forehead, that was part of an ancient tradition, and you still see some modern ones doing it today. And you shall write them upon the posts of your houses and on your gates. You see how thorough God is in instructing his ancient people on the importance of family. And that's what we want to concentrate on today. But first, let me tell you about what we're offering in today's program. Two CDs. Both of them prepared by Bill Watson, and I think you're going to enjoy them. One of them is entitled, Cherish Your Families. cherish your families. Isn't that something that is kind of getting passé? We don't even know how to define a family today, but this sermon, along with the second CD entitled The Family, can be yours. You have Cherish Your Families and The Family by Bill Watson. Both are yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free to 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. Both of these items can be yours absolutely free, where it can go into more detail than I can do in this brief program to talk about the importance of family and how much time you should spend inculcating the principles of living into your family. I hope you take advantage of this opportunity to get that free material. Recently, a very famous man died as we are taping this program. And when the program airs, it's a fait accompli that the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden, has passed away at the age of 99. He's an interesting man on many levels, not just as a famous basketball coach, but a man who had certain principles by which he lived. And they were dictated to him, if you will, or shared with him by his father. And he, in turn, shared with his two children and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and adopted children who played basketball for him. Some of the famous names, how about Lew Alcindor, or, as we know him today, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? What about Bill Walton? I could go down a list of players who played for him who spoke so highly of him as a mentor, as a guide, and the principles of living that he shared with them that came out of his familiar training and upbringing in the state of Indiana. I have a high regard for John Wooden because he was a man's man, quiet in demeanor, but very firm in his conviction. He held the principles of God deeply within himself and allowed it to bubble up, spring up in him when he was dealing with other people without being preachy. Without being overbearing, he simply stated what his conviction was on how to live life. And by extension, from his own family, he had an influence and an impact on the world around him. The entire media in the sports world, as well as common everyday people, were affected by his generous nature, by his principles of living that came from the foundational stones of family. And therefore, I want to concentrate today in today's program about family. We just read the passage in Deuteronomy, and we could also read the repetition in the 11th chapter, verses 13 through 21. And what we find here is the injunction for teaching, for grounding, for anchoring, for a just and fair and pleasing society. Wouldn't you like to live in one of those? I know when you have to go to Walmart or Lowe's or other places in the public, in grocery stores, if you will, we find people out of joint, children out of control, parents fussing and arguing before the public with their children. They're just out of focus on how they should conduct their lives. And the family is so important because as a family goes, or as families go, so goes a nation. As we look around our society today, we see children raising parents or tearing down parents in public, using all sorts of foul language before them because their parents have used it in their presence from an early age. Things are out of control in our society. And doesn't it make you ponder why it should be so when, as a nation, we claim to follow the will and the ways of God? And yet, we can't even define a family. What is a family? Now, let's see. There's dad and dad. No. There's mother and mother. Well, the Bible seems to declare that it should be a father and a mother, a husband and a wife. But we get to redefine it in our society because of free speech and all of that. I know that's chafing some of you because, you know, you think we should just be broad-minded. Well, the Word of God is not broad-minded. It's very specific and to the point. There should be a father, there should be a mother, and there should be children. Now, let's talk about the role of a father. I'm going to spend a little time today in today's program in the book of Proverbs. Not a great deal because of time limitations. But I want you to see some things here that Solomon put together in that massive work called the book of Proverbs. We find so much instruction here, but I want to go to the fourth chapter. Chapter 4 and verse 1, and here's what it says. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father. That's quaint. You mean to tell me that children have to listen to what a father has to say? Don't you see the whining and moaning and crying in public places or depicted in popular culture on television and movies and what have you, where children talk back to the parents and convince us that the father is crazy, insipid, or stupid at best, lacking any knowledge and wisdom or strength to control anything? But here's the word of God, which says, children should follow the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. I mentioned John Wooden. Why did I do that? A man who lives to be 99 years of age probably has a thing or two to say. He had many axioms that he used and presented to his colleagues and for those who played for him or those who simply sought him out for advice. And as a result of being a father or being fatherly to those who needed a surrogate father, Bill Walton acknowledges that John Wooden was his father beyond his physical father because of the trauma of Bill's life and the society in which he grew up in the late 60s and early 70s, where things were just out of control. He needed a wise head, a wise gentleman to help him through, and John Wooden filled that role. What about you and me? Well, we have our charges with our own children to deal with them. Well, mothers. Let's talk about mothers. That's an interesting subject because there is one massive scripture in the Proverbs that share some information about a mother, a woman, if you will. And that's in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, commonly taught or understood to be the ideal mother or the virtuous mother, the virtuous woman. But look at the lineage of where this instruction comes. It says in verse 1 of chapter 31 of Proverbs, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Oh, mothers are just not short skirts that you have to try to reach up and grab hold to in the checkout stand, but the skirt is too short to reach because mother is kind of, you know, dressing out of kilter, you know, showing everything, advertising it widely and thinking that should only be for the husband, but it winds up being for everybody. This mother that is described here in Proverbs is a powerful one. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? In other words, you have a question you want to ask, something that you need to know. And it led to her declaring to her son, who can find, in verse 10, a virtuous woman, a wife? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is describing the ideal mother, the ideal circumstance. And I must confess right off the bat that when it comes to this ideal circumstance, I didn't grow up in that environment. I grew up with a single parent, my mother. But she still was a lady. She still was a woman of great character and virtuosity, if you will, because someone had instructed her. In fact, it was a teacher who had a great deal of influence on her in teaching her how to sew, how to knit, how to care for herself, and to be a woman in the society in which she lived. And she passed that on to my sisters and to me to have an insight into how women should be. So I had a standard by which I was going to make a judgment about the woman I married, based on what my mother taught me. So Lemuel is describing this woman as it came to him from his mother. It says in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I look at the president's wives, the first ladies of the land who have occupied that office, and I really can't think of anything bad to say about any of them because they set such marvelous examples of supporting their husbands, who standing with their husbands, yes, but also rearing the children and bringing them into some insight and some understanding of their places in society. It's a wonderful thing to see a woman function in this way, and this passage of Scripture goes on to describe this virtuous woman in this way. Verse 27, it says, "She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness." She's just not watching Oprah and Martha and a whole host of other women who have a dominant influence on how they think, and on top of it, watching other men, other husbands of other women, declare to them how they are supposed to be. This woman is responsive to her household. And as a result of taking care of her household and her husband and her children, here's what the scripture says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29 really caps it. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all, this virtuous woman that's being described here. And then favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think about some of the popular culture people who appear who have children and you know they're out in the public doing all sorts of crazy things. Lohan comes to mind. A couple of other people that you'll see on your screen here, depictions of women who are just out of control. They have children, but you wouldn't know it by the way they conduct themselves. Fathers, mothers are part of the cohesion to bring a society into a right perspective that will enhance the entirety of the society. But we don't see that. Children are told in Proverbs 23, for instance. Let's take a look at this passage because there are instructions in the Bible for fathers, for mothers, for children. Here in Proverbs 23, verse 19, we read, "Hear you, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way." That's interesting. That's a play on a term. Torah, or Torah, means the way. The first five books of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible means the way, Torah. That's what it is. So here's the play on the word. "Hear you, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way." It was in Deuteronomy that we first opened the broadcast, talking about following the ways of God, thinking about them when you rise up, when you lie down, when you go out into the public, when you come home. All of it is enveloped in your thinking. But we look around today in this society and we see anything but that kind of thing going on, just the opposite. But here's the further instruction for children. "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh," that is, gluttons. "For the drunkard," that's the wine bibber, or consuming other intoxicants, if you will, "and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto your father that begot you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Do you get the point of these passages I'm sharing with you? And they culminate in a presentation in the New Testament in a couple of places that I want to turn to quickly. In the book of Colossians, this is a letter written by Paul to the church at Colossae, and we'll find in the third chapter these words. Chapter 3 of Colossians, starting in verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." That's kind of passe. Let me get my pen out and just got to cross that out. That submit part, you know, that doesn't work in the 21st century. Or does it? It doesn't mean browbeat. It doesn't mean just acquiesce to wrong thinking. It doesn't mean that at all. It means submitting to a husband in his rightful place as the head of the family, according to the Word of God. Why? Because it is fit in the Lord. Really? You mean the Lord is old-fashioned like that? Apparently it works, or he wouldn't have said it. Husbands, I love this, verse 19, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's not a competition. It's not who wins. But it's about working together to find out what's best for the family unit. Really? That's unique. Children, verse 20, obey your parents in all things. Well, I have opinions, children would say, and they say that at earlier age than they used to. This is how I want it. This is my room, off limits, knock before entering. Well, in my mother's house, she said as long as it's her house, my room was not off limits to her. I mean, she was kind of old-fashioned, and you can look and see I have a little snore on the roof, which indicates I've been around a while. But even in my old age, as my mother still lived, I respected her house, and I respected her, and it never occurred to me that I would ever talk back to my mother. Well, that's just old-fashioned, I know, but some of you are wishing for that day. Fathers, verse 21, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. You know, to provoke, to give a provocation, to call them out of their names, to say things that are unholy and ungodly to them, which suggest they can never amount to anything, that's provocation. And the Word of God says you should not do that, but you should be an encourager of your children. These are principles found here in the New Testament that provide for a cohesive unit that is knit together by love. And as we get prepared now to leave the broadcast for the day, I want to share this story with you because it's so important. As we are taping this program, recently in the city of Detroit, there was a 7-year-old girl who was killed accidentally by a police officer who was raiding a home looking for a murderer, an accused murderer, of a 17-year-old young person at a neighborhood gas station. Now, it's regrettable that this young lady was killed, but look at the story flow. The fact is, her father, that 7-year-old's father, was an accompanist to the accused murderer of the 17-year-old. He not only provided the gun, but he drove the car. And as a result of a father being out of place, not understanding the principles of living, not teaching his daughter by example, she is dead much earlier than she should have died. A 17-year-old is dead, and there's a family grieving because mother, father, and children were not knit together by love. My friends, it is important for us to know this, that the family is a breeding ground for a futuristic presentation as a member of the God family. Did I say that? Yes, I did. For in the book of Ephesians, there is an interesting passage that I want to leave you with today that declares this, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation, Paul is talking to the people at Ephesus, for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, that's angelic, and in earth, that's human beings, are named. Wait a minute. God is a family. He gives principles of living to human beings to practice so that they can qualify to be in his ultimate family. Where did we go wrong? How can we get ourselves together? Well, I'll tell you the first step you need to take. If your family is in trouble and turmoil and upset, or you are anticipating becoming part of a family, why don't you take time to call toll-free to the number on your screen? That is 1-888-578-8791. To secure this material that's being offered in today's program absolutely free of charge, Cherish Your Families and the Family, 2 CDs presented by our good friend and colleague, Bill Watson. I want you to get that material and devour it and get your family on the right path towards the kingdom of God and satisfying our Creator, who is the Father of us all, and Jesus Christ is our elder brother, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Family cannot be missed in this scenario. Don't you miss your opportunity to develop a wholesome and productive family unit in the world today.
Families, wow, what a subject. Look, I think all of us would agree our families are under attack. From the homosexual movement to abortion, fatherless homes and motherless homes. Oh yeah, that's right, motherless homes. I was just talking to a guy the other day. He's divorced. His child, 12-year-old boy, was living with his ex-wife. Well, the ex-wife wants to live a fancy, free, and footloose lifestyle. So guess what she's doing? She's giving up the kid and wants the child, the 12-year-old boy, to go back to the father. He was disturbed and really, really bothered by all of this. Look, our families, as I say, are under attack from the internet to video games to peer pressure. All these things are constantly compounding their effect in the negative fashion. Even, for instance, and all of you, I think, would agree, even the parents, from hobbies to their jobs to, let's face it, even problems like alcoholism and other types of drug addiction, all of these things just serve to further confuse the definition and, of course, the purpose of family. Look, our families ought to, should they not be nurturing environments? And of course, I think all of you would agree, they should be educational environments. So let me ask you, I just want to ask you one question. What are your families teaching you by the examples that are being set by the participants in that family? What's the mother, the father, the children learning and or teaching by virtue of their examples? Won't you let us help you to better understand this perspective? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get these two free offers, two presentations, 1 hour apiece, one titled The Family, the second, Cherish Our Families. Both are free for the asking. All you've got to do, my friends, is dial that number, 888-578-8791. And don't forget about that website there at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Many have asked from time to time, how are we able to provide these free offers week after week, like the one offered this week showing on your screen? Well, the Armor of God is sponsored by the Church of God International. It is by the tithes and offerings of these dedicated people that affords us this benefit to you. If you would like to know more about the Church of God International, please feel free to call us at 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and let us know how we may serve you.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.